And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. We're losing our freedom in the land. Working from behind the scenes, controlling everything, from the daily news we read to the politicians. And they're pulling our financial strings, more powerful than kings. It's the central bank elite bringing our destruction. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. We are the people and we can. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. We gotta take the freedom back. America arises, it's time to open up our eyes and march back down the road to freedom. If we look the other way, they'll take our rights away. So we the people must seek freedom. Restore the Republic. Shoving taxes down our throats, bailing out banks we don't even owe. It's a ruination. They're invading our privacy with high technology. Microchip in our ID, it's abomination. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. Spread the news across the land. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you so much for being on the call. We welcome you to the Republic for the United States of America. My name is Kelby Smith. I've been doing these calls with the people here for probably a little over 3 years. It seems like a lot longer. And as we go forward in this awesome journey together to restore and re-inhabit the initial vacated seats of the Republic for the United States of America, we are continually learning. We invite any law enforcement, we invite any agency to come and correct the error if there are any errors in our understanding of the Republic for the United States of America. What we have done is the most awesome thing in history, if you ask me personally, and that's simply sat back down in the seats that were loosened under Abraham Lincoln in 1860 before the Civil War. Before we get into the call tonight, I'd like to open up the call in prayer. Janine, did you have anybody in mind?
Yes, Kelby, I'd like to ask Brenda Owens from Indiana to open the call in prayer. Brenda, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, Brenda.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, sorry. Abba, Father, we just want to thank you for what you're doing. We thank you so much for providing, protecting, watching over us, and leading, guiding, and directing each one of us. We just lift up this call to you, pray for your anointing, for your help, for your guidance, for understanding, Father. And we pray that you'd help everyone out there to see what's been done and see what your plan is. Lord, we thank you again so much for bringing everyone together. And we just pray, Father, for your blessing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the prayer. We open up calls in prayer for a reason. We believe that this government that we call the Republic for the United States of America is a lawful form of government on, by, and for the people that re-inhabited, whereby a bunch of people all across this country realize simply that there was a different structure of a government. See, when we first formed this great nation, we declared under the Declaration of Independence through 66 men who put their lives and fortunes on the line. Now, there's a lot of people that will debate whether those men had good intention or good integrity or what have you. All that matters for us is we have the best set of documents on the face of the earth. A, we are the people. The people are the government. And we are basically the bosses. Now, we've put in the best system and structure of government on the face of this earth. We have three branches of government that are supposed to cup check each other. Unfortunately, if you take a look at our modern-day corporate government, it's obviously for the private sector. It's obviously for the corporations. Every move they make upholds banks, rules, laws, and regulations instead of the people's rules, laws, and regulations. And the most recent one is the Proposition 8 here in California, whereby the Supreme Court simply overruled the people's vote. The people made a stand here in California and said what they wanted in a particular law, and the Supreme Court issued an opinion that it should be overruled. And so the people don't matter in this country. And so that is positive proof that the corporate structure of government is in full effect. Another positive proof the corporate structure of government is in effect is the law. You simply need to look at Title 28, Section 3002, and you'll see it says the United States is a federal corporation. And then you got to understand where the jurisdiction of that corporation is. And you can find that under UCC 309H. It'll say the exclusive jurisdiction of the United States, the upper and lowercase U, which means the corporate United States, is in the District of Columbia. So what they've basically done, and they've taken a long time to accomplish it, and I got to tell you, they've done a really good job, and they've done a good job with the smoke screen all the way down to the law enforcement, telling law enforcement so much so that if you believe that you are under God only, or if you believe that you don't fall under the rules of a corporation, then you are an extremist or you're a domestic terrorist. Well, look, I love my family. I love my God. I love my country. I think we live in the best country in the earth. And it's a little bit more extreme than we think, because they're making rules and regulations that say our veterans are domestic terrorists that need to be watched. Our Catholics, our Christians, they're potential domestic terrorists, and you need to watch them. And if you read the Bible, you're more than likely going to be a sovereign extremist. So they use these words to put forth press releases to local law enforcement, and then they flash a video of a mistake that happened from somebody who claimed to be a sovereign citizen, and it has nothing to do with the rest of the nation of good men and women all over this country that simply say we are one of the people. And that's all this republic is saying. We are one of the people. And one of the people does not fall under corporate rule. Unless you have contracts with that corporation, then you need to comply with those contracts. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most awesome time of history of learning that we need to do. We need to understand the difference of de facto and de jure. We need to understand the difference of corporate rule versus private, public versus private. We need to understand, are we under a constitutional rule? We need to understand if we're under a military rule. And we need to ask our government, the de facto, So please come clean, and please stand up for those oaths of office and start performing on behalf of the people instead of on behalf of the banks. Ladies and gentlemen, this country's waking up quicker than ever, and I'm very encouraged about this republic. I'm not a domestic terrorist. I'm not a sovereign citizen. I'm one of the people. We're all one of the people, and we need to unite. We need to tell this government, hey, wait a minute, guys. We're all together, or we're all screwed. Let's stop the agenda. Let's stop Agenda 21. Let's stop these various different things that aren't conspiracy theories. They're very real, and they're very scary. And it's where 200 countries got together and talked about a way to depopulize this world. So, guys, let's put our hats on. Let's join forces under God, and let's understand that He's the only way and the only support that we have on the face of this earth. And we need to do good, and we need to be righteous before Him, and we need to declare that this nation is under Him and Him only, as the Declaration of Independence does. With that, Janine, I yield the floor.
Thank you, Kilby. And before I let you go, would you talk about our July 11th call?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. Yes.
That's
guys,
okay.
On July 11th of 2013, we had probably one of the best calls. I mean, we've had a few really good calls. This call, all the way around, was probably one of the best calls. And you can go to republicfortheunitedstates.org, go find that July 11th call. Anybody that you want to bring forward with information as to what we've done, how we've done it, there was an entourage of speakers. It was probably one of the best calls we've ever had. I recommend highly downloading it to your iPods, sending links to your friends, get people interested in the Republic, and you got to do this now. This nation needs to start changing its things. When I see a Alabama press coming after the Republic, calling us domestic terrorists, and they're not doing anything about the current government, who is behaving as a domestic terrorist towards its people by laws, by, I can't even begin to tell you all the laws that they violate on a daily basis. The people need to wake up, and the July 11th call absolutely lays it out from beginning to end. Please go get it downloaded to your machine and send out the links, or simply send out the link so they can stream it right from the republicfortheunitedstates.org website. It's absolutely going to change the minds and hearts of people in understanding what the difference is of the de facto government and the de jure government, which is ours. I yield.
Thank you, Kelby. It's great to have you back.
Thank you, Janine.
Thank you. So tonight we've got our new Attorney General nominee that's going to be speaking to us, and I'm going to invite Senator Brett LaRue to make his introduction.
Thank you, Janine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Very good. Welcome, everyone. Hey, Kelby. Thank you, brother. I want to introduce to everyone Jim Sehak. He is from the state of Illinois. He has devoted, the last couple years to his study of things that are very pertinent to what Kelby was just discussing. You know, we have been had things turned around on us, and Jim has devoted his time to getting to understand how those things have been used against us, what the circumstances are, and has had a degree of success in helping people to stand their ground against the corporate extremists that we're facing. So if they can call us extremists for the things that we have deep convictions about, then we're going to call them corporate extremists, because that's what they believe in. Also financial extremists, because they're financial terrorists, robbing the people and enslaving everyone else for their own personal gain. So Jim is a man who has, like I said, taken a lot of time of his own personal time prior to his even being considered for the Attorney General position for the Republic, to take it upon himself to learn these things. And so he has the right attitude. He is teachable. He's humble. A very, very good guy. And so I'm happy to introduce to you Jim Sehak. I yield.
Thank you, Brett. I appreciate that. Very, very nice introduction. Good evening, Janine. Good evening, Kelby. How are you? Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay?
You're coming.
Sorry, my line was muted. I can hear you great. Thank you.
Okay, great. Excellent. Well, I wanted to, Jeannie asked me if I could be on this call and introduce myself a little bit. Brett is absolutely correct. The education I've gotten has been personal and firsthand. I've done a lot of research to find out why the de facto government is doing what they're doing and the remedy that exists, which is ever-changing. These people are, as Kelby mentioned, these people are brilliant. They're very cunning. And once we come up with a success and a remedy, it's almost as if that success spreads across the nation, and before somebody else can take advantage of that success, they've changed the game. That's the level of corruption that's going on out there. And there are successes, and we need to find those. I did not volunteer or throw my hand in the ring or ask to be a candidate in consideration for Attorney General. I was actually invited to do so, and it took a couple of weeks. In fact, I think it took about 3 weeks for me to finally give an answer to that, because I realized that this is a monumental task. It is a tremendous responsibility. And before I did, I had a lot of internal prayer and thought and guidance before I agreed to step up to accept the position of a candidate for Attorney General. My focus and my goal is to try to help educate the people. I believe that's one of the responsibilities I have or would have as the Attorney General, is to try to help people get to a level of understanding in a number of areas, but specifically the areas of our organic Constitution, the properly ratified amendments, the Articles, the Bill of Rights, and our Declaration of Independence, and what those really mean, what the intentions were of our founding fathers, but what those specific words lay out in law for our protection as the people and for how government should be, limited government. And what I want to do is really draft a syllabus that would be utilized in every state across the country and could be added to or whatever the case is, but a basic foundation for education so that each state could begin to educate its people and do so that we all have a solid foundation. If you have a solid foundation, you can build a terrific structure on top of that. If we don't have a solid foundation, whatever you try to build is going to lean one way or the other. It's not going to last very long. So my idea is to train people and to give information and knowledge, rather than train is educate. Educate's a better word. Educate people as to the different types of government around the world and the absolute differences between a republic and a democracy, get into de jure, de facto, and really give people an in-depth understanding. Because I've noticed in the republic meetings I've attended, and I've attended a lot, that there is a varying level of understanding of all of those principal founding documents. There's a varying understanding of government. And some people who don't know are afraid to step up or speak up or raise their hand. They don't really know what to say. They don't want to say anything and feel foolish or stupid or anything else. But I feel if we all have a basic understanding of those documents and can share that knowledge and share our experiences and our successes and even our failures, we all grow. We all learn as a group. And it's all there to benefit we the people. So with that, I yield. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. I know that you have a short time to be with us this evening before you have to go to your call, your next appointment. So I really appreciate you taking the time to be here with us. I know you're going to be working on a syllabus and all that. Do we have any timelines of when we can start putting some stuff out like that?
I'm hoping, Jeannie, that I can actually have that done before the end of the year. I've got quite a bit of research compiled already.
Okay.
I was going through more of it today, and I have it grouped in different categories, and then what I have to do is actually structure it and lay it out properly. So, and then ask for input, you know, from others. I would like it, you know, I would like the smartest people who know this information to all come together and take a look at this and to add to it and to refine it and define it and get it out to a level of understanding where somebody who walks into the Republic who has no knowledge can learn. I don't want it to be over people's heads. I don't want it to be, you know, in legalese. I want it to be in layman's terms. And so it's going to take a little bit, but I'm hoping my goal is by the end of the year.
That's excellent. That's very good. And it's something that we've needed for a long time. Well, thank you so much, Jim, for being with us this evening. I anticipate you being on this call a lot. So get ready.
Okay, you got it. I certainly will. Thank you, Janine.
Thanks. And now I'd like to go to our congressional updates. Senator LaRue, would you like to give us an update from the Senate, please?
Absolutely. Thank you again, and thank you again, Jim, for taking the time to share with us. We are nearing the Rules Committee. We just had another committee meeting, and we're honestly just reading through the rules as they exist to try to get a feel for how they, you know, how the founders structured the rules for the Senate. And there's also joint rules for the House and Senate when they meet together, and you know, there's a number of moving parts. And so we are nearing the end of our initial reading of all of those rules within the time that we have allotted every week to do that. And so we are making steady progress on that. We are in the process of electing chairs to some of the standing committees, as we have the necessity to interact with them and to elect members to staff those committees. So we're going to be taking that up on Tuesday when we come together again. And the specific purposes of those committees are going to be so that we can approve the nominations or confirm the nominations and have hearings and vet the nominees and whatnot for those particular positions so that we can move forward and actually confirm Jim and others that are nominated and to demonstrate to the people that we have done our due diligence, that we have properly, you know, looked into, you know, their abilities, their aptitude, their skills, their attitude about the position that they would hold, and just, you know, get a chance to have the committees who will be working with these particular individuals on, you know, a somewhat ongoing basis, so that they have a rapport with one another. So it's, you know, important, again, to, like Kelby says, is to the words that come out of our mouths, it's important that we understand what those words are. So we're continually, as we go through the rules and we go through the de jure laws and things like that, to determine what is right, to ensure that we have an understanding of the words so that we can properly convey that as part of our education process. So, that's what we're working on in the Senate, and again, last week we were off, this week we're on for our meeting. So with that, I yield. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Senator LaRue. And Speaker Rockwell, do you have an update from the House?
Yes, ma'am. And again, I'd like to say welcome, Jim. I think that's excellent what you're planning to do by the end of the year, and I'm excited because we've got lots of stuff we need to get taken care of. So you're definitely a sight for sore ears right now. So anyway, on with my update. We're working on committees as well, just like the Senate is. In fact, we have four ad hoc committees now, one on education, one on rules that Representative Kurzanowski will talk and give an update here just a moment. Also, we have a committee on recruitment, and then there's a joint ad hoc committee with the Senate on documentation, and we should be getting together and doing joint work on that here pretty quick. So exciting to work with the Senate on that. And again, we will have our House meeting next Tuesday along in different houses, different areas, along with the Senate. And we meet at 6 p.m. On Tuesday evening. That's Pacific time. and you're welcome to join us. I don't have the number in front of me right now, but if you'd like that, after Representative Krasinowski gives his update, I can give you those phone numbers if that would be something that everybody would want. With that, I yield.
Thank you, Speaker Rockwell. Representative Krasinowski, do you have an update from the Rules Committee?
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, yes, yes. Good evening, everybody. And I too would like to say that I'm excited about Jim being on our team and what he says for the planet, what he has planned and what he's been working on. And I can tell you, when I know the man personally, it's going to be very, 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 very good for everybody. They're going to love it. But getting back to the update, we're having slight difficulty in getting together this week in the Rules Committee, but we're still moving forward. We've been working on, as usual, updating everything and, you know, trying to understand some of the rules like the Senate is doing. And we're also still trying to update everything to work well, you know, with our current situation. So, you know, we're moving slowly but surely, and hopefully in the next few weeks we're going to have everything buttoned up, and that's going to help us move forward in Congress. And I yield. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Krasinowski, I know that you were not prepared for this, and I'm going to throw you under the bus just a little bit here, but we sent an email out last night warning people to beware of emails that have a link in them that go to a malicious malware site, and some of the people on this call may or may not have received that email. Would you like to just give a quick little summary of that for everyone, since that is actually your area of expertise?
Sure, not a problem. I've gotten a few emails from some people I know that are in my contact list, and they basically, it's either a forwarded message, it says it's a forwarded message, or just a regular message, and a lot of times it's just a very short message, and there's a link, and you might see that, you know, there's the person, the person that supposedly sent me the emails, their name is part of that link, so it looks like, oh, he's got a website, you know, but and if you click on that link, it right away goes to a .ru address. It doesn't go to the address that it says it's going to. .ru is a very popular web host site for hackers from Russia and that whole area out there. I've had a lot of experience with these guys already. The latest one was it said hello and news, latest news, and then it put the link and then it said goodbye. And you know, it's just little things like that. If you get an email from people, you know your the people that send you stuff, if you know them pretty well and how they communicate, and you usually can pick up on stuff. But if you get something like that, especially if it has a link built into it, be very, very careful, very sure that, you know, that link is going to be right, because it could take you to a malware site, a site set up by a hacker, and it'll download stuff, could compromise, you know, the security of your computer, or plant a little program in there to steal your passwords. And so you just have to be wary of that stuff. And usually the best thing to do is double check with the person, or there's a couple other, if you learn how to read email headers, a lot of times you'll find out that the actual sender was coming from another country. even though they're saying they're coming from this person. They know how to spoof stuff. They know how to hack people's emails. And especially if Yahoo is very insecure, I get all my trouble emails from people who have accounts on Yahoo. But anyways, that's what you need to watch out for that stuff. And if some of our members might have issues with their emails being hacked and they're being used to forward bad emails like that, so just, you know, if it doesn't look right, especially if you have the link in the email, don't click on it. Confirm that your friend sent you that link, and then go from there. And I think that's, I don't know if I missed anything that I said yesterday, Jenny, tonight.
No, I think you did a good job. Thank you.
So anyways, that's you know, just be careful because everything's, it's getting worse. It's getting worse, and I throw out about 200 emails a day, and probably 10% of them are emails like that. So,
wow.
Anyways, I hope that helps, and it also pays to, you know, get your, you know, scan your stuff for viruses and that every once in a while. And probably it's also best to change your passwords once in a while, too. And a good rule of thumb is at least 8 characters. And you should put some capital letters, numbers, or symbols, if it's allowed, in the account to make your password. It makes it extremely hard to figure out them. And with that, I yield.
Thank you so much, Representative Krasinowski. Now I'd like to go to our regular segment, Treading Waters with Roger Waters. He's going to bring us part 2 of a 3-part series he's doing about the Zimmerman trial and how that differs in the Republic and then what it does in the corporate. And welcome, Roger, to the call. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Anxious to hear part 2.
Well, yeah, this is quite interesting what I have uncovered here. Some of the reasons of why they are doing what they're doing. You know, Kelby, when he opened up and with his opening statement, he said some things that is going to lead right into what I'm going to say here. First of all, let me tell everybody that I have Acting Governor Cory Perkins, who's going to join me here in a few minutes. And he's going to share a few things with us. First, let me explain what I'm going to do here. I took the Declaration of Independence, and I took the part where the Founding Fathers were making a claim of what the King of England was doing. And I was reading through that, and I realized that what the King of England then were doing to the colonies, the corporation is doing to us right now. So let me read these to you before I actually get into the report.
Okay.
He has, when I say he, just think of the corporation. He has obstructed an administration of justice by refusing to assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices, and for the amount of payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislature. He has afflicted to render the military independent and superior to civil power, for protecting them by mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit to the inhabitants of these states, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. I looked at that and I thought, that's exactly what the corporation is doing now. Now, did you notice Monday and Tuesday, if you happened to watch the network news, everything was about this little baby being born, Kate, over in England. Now, I understand that, you know, there are probably people who would be involved in like that kind of thing. But when you realize that everything that the government in the corporate realm is actually sending everything to England, and we are slaves to the crown, even today, that's why the corporate news follows that so much. That's actually who's leading us. Okay. Now, I said that. I'm going to get into something here in just a second, but I want you to understand something else. The same corporate government that's enslaving us is also taking away our rights of the freedom of religious beliefs, Christianity. And today I watched a lot of stuff on the Science Channel, and everything is about evolution. Yet, in Israel, about 2 weeks ago, as they were digging between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, they uncovered a very interesting find. They uncovered King David's palace. Now, for a corporation who's trying to tell us that all that stuff never really existed, they keep finding these things that tell what the Bible is actually true. And if you happen to have cell phones, which I think most of us are using right now, they say now that there is a software bug that could let hackers control 500 million cell phones. And I'm thinking, okay, there's 306, 307 million people in the boundaries of the U.S. That's more cell phones than there are people in this country. So, with that said, the corporation, as Kelby was putting it, has enslaved us in every single way that is imaginable to the human mind. They've got us into so many contracts that no matter which way we go, we are under their spell. You know, I was thinking today that if you get rid of your Social Security number, you have nothing left because all the other contracts use your Social Security number. So, we had this case called the Zimmerman case. And what happened in that was a Latino guy who was a neighborhood watch got caught into a situation, and he probably should have never gotten out of his vehicle, but he did. Got into a confrontation, and a shot was fired, and it killed this young black kid. Now, what ensued after that was, if you watch the network news, all of a sudden, everything turned to a race card. Everybody hates the blacks, so, you know, we're just going to go shoot the blacks. That's the kind of essence that I was hearing all over the news, the newspapers, articles online. And I want to tell you that we have an interesting development that has now taken place, and it deals with Eric Holder. Now, Eric Holder is the U.S. Attorney General, and he is calling the death of Trayvon Martin a tragic, and he vows to pursue the civil rights inquiry after George Zimmerman was acquitted. Did you understand that? A jury of his peers said, no, he's not guilty, goodbye, have a nice life. And then Eric Holder says, we're going after you. Okay? Now, here's what Eric Holder has said. And we will never stop working to ensure that in every case, in every circumstance, and in every community, justice must be done. That's a quote from Eric Holder. Now, my question is this. What kind of justice are we supposed to be seeing? Is he speaking on the fact that if someone from your race dies, at the hands of another person from another race, that you, the top cop in the corporation, will pursue that person who did the act, and once you have found anything to your liking, after a jury has found him not guilty, that you will prosecute on another trumped-up charge. Is that the kind of justice you mean? Or maybe you mean the kind where you withhold information from the defense and the court deliberately, so the one from outside your race gets the shaft. Are you talking about that kind of justice? Now, just in the Republic, in the last 6 months, we've seen two cases where that has actually been done to our people. Maybe he means that when you tell the court to stack the deck with jurors that will side to your liking and then put the accused away for life because they want to play the race card. Mr. Holder, any way you put it, justice in the corporation can never be done because you have taken the most sacred document besides the Bible and you've made a mockery of it. You mock God and then you mock the Constitution, which was delivered to some very well-educated people in their day by the Spirit of the living God, and that's why you mock God and the Constitution. Now, because of this trial and because he was found not guilty, another group has arisen, and this group is a very dangerous group. I'm going to read this word for word. There is a video of the new Black Panthers offering a $10,000 reward for the capture of George Zimmerman. It resurfaced this week after a Florida jury found the neighborhood watchman not guilty of the second-degree murder of Trayvon Martin. The video, originally from March 2012, made the rounds by a report on a conservative website making the bounty for a new development as angered supporters of Trayvon Martin because to march in protest of the verdict in cities across the country. At the same time, the video was originally published by Black Panthers who were angered that Zimmerman had not been arrested after he admittedly fatally shot Trayvon. Do you remember last week I told you that the chief of police said he had no evidence of a murder, that he was lawfully carrying a weapon. The next morning, he was resigning from pressure from D.C. While this video is old, the new Black Panther leader, Malik Zulu Shabazz, has been active on Twitter calling for a million youth march in New York on September the 7th. This is a quote from him. Those jurors were making a direct statement to Black America, and they were telling us that we are in fear of the black male, fear of the black man, and fear of the Trayvon Martins, and we are going to maintain this first, the right of us to kill you, and then he used the N-word. And then he said, obviously, Zimmerman needs to be worried. He will always be hunted and hated like the villain he is and the demon that he is to many. Now, if you get a chance to look at this document that I'm going by, have a picture of him next to the symbol of the new Black Panthers. It's a hate group symbol. It's a drawing of a leaping Black Panther superimposed over a green Africa on a red circle. Malik Zulu Shabazz, his original name is Paris Lewis. He was born in 1968. He is an American attorney and national chairman of the new Black Panther Party. He is a frequent guest on television shows, and in 1998, he was recognized by the National Bar Association with its Young Lawyer of the Year. Later that year, he again ran for an office in D.C., but was not successful. He also has this quote, "Who is it that caught and killed Nat Turner? the Jews? Who is it that controls the Federal Reserve? The Jews. Who is it that has our entertainers and our athletes in a vice grip? The Jews. Then, he is quoted as saying this from the Anti-Defamation League, describes Shabazz as anti-Semitic and racist. During a 2002 protest at Napa, and my dog's agreeing with me here, International in Washington, D.C., Shabazz said, kill every GD Zionist in Israel, every GD little baby, and every GD old ladies, and blow up the Zionist supermarkets. So here's my question, Mr. Holder. If someone was to make a threat against one of your people, would you have him arrested, found guilty, and imprisoned for life? Yet Mr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, a Muslim, has made numerous threats against people outside of his own race, and why haven't you had him brought up on terrorism charges? Oh, that's right. He's a Muslim, and you work for a Muslim, the CEO of the U.S. corporation. How do I know that it's a U.S. is a corporation? All you have to do is go to United States Code, Title 28, Chapter 176. You'll find the Federal Debt Collection Procedure. Under that subchapter, you'll find a letter A. It's called Definitions and General Provisions. And number 15 says, the United States means A, a federal corporation, B, an agency, department, commission, board, or any entity of the United States, or C, instrumentally of the United States. Folks, Kelby said it at the beginning of this call, we live in a corporation. Their own code and statutes call that a U.S. corporation. Kelby has been telling you the truth for close to 3 years. It's time that people wake up and understand what's going on here. Now, I'm going to bring in Acting Governor Cory Perkins. He has a very unique background, and I would like for him to just briefly share that and give his thoughts on this Black Panther Party and their movement right now. So, Cory, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. If you would, please, just give a little background on yourself and tell us what your opinion of this Black Panther organization and what they're trying to do in today's world.
Well, my background is that I've been in security, law enforcement, investigative profession for a total of 22 combined years. Recently, I've just made an attempt to become a paralegal, so I'm still working on that and in the process. So I study a lot about the law and read a lot about the law and worked at it in various levels over the years. And, you know, the only thing I can say about the Black Panther Party and as well as all of these other people that are involved in all of this stuff surrounding this case is that they're what I would call race baiters, or they're going about to create tribalization. They want to bring the people to a point where we'll start to fight against each other instead of getting wise about what the corporation is doing to us all. And so I think an important thing is that we need to pay attention to each one of these people that are involved with this case and their background and what they've done over the years, so we will begin to know them by all of their works, because these cases keep repeating themselves over and over. And it's the same people typically, like Al Sharpton is one name that I'll throw out there. I'm quite sure somebody on this call will probably remember about maybe in the late 80s, maybe early 90s, there was a guy named Bernard Goetz. And if you remember the Bernard Goetz case, it was pretty much the same thing that this case was. It was just a rule of law case. Somebody was getting assaulted. You know, they were taking serious blows, which justifies you, if you think that you're going to get serious bodily injury, to be able to use deadly force. And pretty much the same case, and the guy used a legal weapon to defend himself, and, you know, all of a sudden it became a race issue when two or three particular people popped up. So the whole thing that I have to say about all of it is we have to start knowing these people by their works, and we have to start looking at them and see that they're doing the same thing over and over, just race baiting, trying to polarize people of a certain group or a certain ethnic background or whatever and bring them together so that they can fight against the other people that we should be all pulling together to fight against, or not, I shouldn't say fight against, but get wise as to what the corporation is doing.
Thank you, Corey. I appreciate your time. Do you have anything else that you'd like to say?
Oh, no, that was it.
Okay. You know, since we're talking about attorneys, let me explain to you something about the bar. This is from their own website, okay? The American Bar Association and its state alter egos has, for all intents and purposes, taken over the entire federal, state, and local governments. The legislative branch follows the advice of the bar members and their advisors in the constructing of statutes. The executive branch does the same in the enforcement of those statutes, and the judicial branch is literally a closed union shop in that regard. You can't be a judge unless you are a bar member, and you can't practice in their courts unless you are a bar member. The term bar is an acronym for British Accredited Registry. These snakes are, in fact, working for the Crown of England, and that is why the gold-fringed flags are in the courtrooms. It signifies maritime law, which is another way of saying British jurisdiction. When you cross the bar in the courtroom, you are entering into a British colonial forum. Now, I found that there are over 30 grievances listed against the King of England in the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Nearly all of them are applicable for today against the Crown of England via the Bar Association. And if you don't have a copy, get one and read it. Each grievance therein begins with the word he. As you read through the grievances, mentally change that to the Bar Association and on behalf of the Crown of England, and you'll see how it fits even in today's world. The root term attorney originates in Sanskrit, the oldest known language, and its original meaning was to turn or to twist. That meaning carried forward largely unaltered into the English language. The extra T is added to separate the two vowels for proper pronunciation in accordance with the rules of English grammar. Thus, the word attorney quite literally means one who turns something. This takes on added meaning when you understand that the legal profession in England has a number of titles or job descriptions, such as esquire, barrister, solicitor, counselor, attorney, and the list goes on. And each one has a very specific function within that system. An English attorney's function is to see that all titles and estates are properly turned over to the legitimate heirs. The closest equivalent to that function in this country would be an attorney who specializes in probate law. It is no accident that the generic term used to describe a practitioner of law in this country is attorney. As agents for the Crown of England, their function is to turn the sovereignty and wealth of this country back over to the Crown of England. And they have just about succeeded. I have a picture here. It was taken on July 26, 2012. It's an official White House photo of the CEO of the corporation, Obama, and his entire staff and members. Interesting enough, when I looked all these up, every member in this picture and the cabinet heads are all members of the American Bar, meaning they are all working to further the cause to bring the American people back under the rule and reign of the Crown of England. And they're almost there. Why is it so important to be in the Republic? Because when it really counts, you will either be under the control of the corporation or be just another piece of meat that they can do whatever they want to. If you're in the Republic, you're free from those who want to enslave you, your family, dogs, and cats. And don't laugh. They do chip all animals now, remember? The George Zimmerman case has brought more than just this case to the forefront. It has brought a huge amount of insight as to what and how the corporation conducts its business outside of the executive branch. It is called the administrative part of the executive branch, and that is where the court stands in 2013 inside the corporation. We do not have a judicial branch under their form of government. We only have one branch, and it's the executive, and then inside the executive there is administrative. What the corporation has done to the Constitution for the United States of America is the same exact thing Lucifer did to the very Word of God. He mocked it, kidnapped it, changed it to his liking, and is now using it only when it benefits his cause. Same as what the corporation has and is doing. And please understand, this evil U.S. corporation owns and controls your courts, your churches, your schools, entertainment, music, and they are trying to control your internet. They quietly spy on your emails and your telephone conversations, and even in your snail mail. They keep printing money up and buying stocks and bonds, making it look like the nation's economy is just fine. Yet cities are starting to file for bankruptcy, and they'll make you pay for all their unlawful spending of every dollar they spend. They simply do not care about you as a person, only as a single private corporation known as the straw man, an all capital name that you see every time you get a piece of mail that says you owe. Yet, if you say anything against them or their system, they come after you. So you better just shut up, bow down to the corporation, and do as you're told. Well, how's that democracy working for you? Now, whether you like it or not, you as a person are faced with a choice that could be the difference between life and death for you and your family and your loved ones. Republic or socialism, known as democracy in this corporation. The choice is yours. As for me and my family, we will serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we will also serve the Republic, where there is life of a person in the unborn are just as sacred as your own. And I yield.
Thank you so much for that report tonight, Roger. I look forward to next week's. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at our hour this evening. So I'm going to, I saw him in the queue here. I'm going to invite my friend Art Van Alstyne to close our call in prayer this evening. Art, can you hear me? Art, can you hear? Okay, I guess he is not hearing me this evening. I'll invite Gene Hertler to close the call in prayer.
Thank you.
Gene, can you hear me? Thank you, Gene.
Thank you. Dearest Lord, we thank you that you are God of the Republic, that you are God of the universe. We thank you, Father, for speaking through your people to teach us. And we acknowledge your spirit through your people as you are leading and guiding us. Thank you, Father, that you have a plan, and in that plan we get to be part of it. Thank you, Father, that you are redeeming us in that plan. We ask you, Father, that you would wake up the people, take back this spiritual veil, Lord, so that they can have eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, we stand with you, and we will do your work. We want to bless you. We do praise you, Lord. And all of the glory is yours.
We also lift up our president to you, and we pray, Father, that you would bring him out of that mess and bring him back home to us, Lord, to lead. We pray this all to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jean. Good night, everyone. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday.
No, no, no.